Well, Luba Mayakiso, good morning. I've been chatting to Howard Saxteen around the fact that although I am certainly so is Howard, a massive fan of how the government has dealt with COVID-19, this penchant for calling dictators and referring to them as brothers and friends is weird, Luba. Can you shed any light on this?
Shane, Howard, I see this really upset you. I suppose it's just a term. I mean, it's like comrade, brother. It's been around for quite a while. And I think two issues. There's appropriateness of reaching out to, can hear you perfectly. I'm like literally on top of the router. So if it's a bad signal, it's got to be your issues. Okay. I'm glowing with radiation beside.
Right. Listen, if you can pop popcorn kernels in your hand, then you've got exactly the right amount of signal. All right. So Libby, you were saying I felt like you were patronizing me, but which I don't mind, by the way.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's a term that's been around. I mean, it's a strange term, but I think in solidarity circles, that is what people use. And I think it's worked very well, for instance, for the Arab world. So, you know, I know even growing up that people would say my brother, trying to find some kind of a link or connection. You recall a few years ago, our former president, Nelson Mandela, I mean, he referred to Fidel Castro as his brother and Gaddafi and Arafat as his brother. So in those organizations, so he's probably speaking more as an ANC leader than a South African president. So in those circles, my brother would be used quite freely. I know it's unfortunate in terms of, you know, the leaders you refer to.
I'm less offended by the term because he can really call him whatever he wants to call him. What bothers me is the fact that there's a flagrant disregard for the suffering of the people by lauding somebody like that, with such warmth, love and devotion. You negate what is really happening under his watch. People are starving to death in Venezuela. Cubans live under the most, and it's documented in terms of how bad the human rights abuses are there. Iran, we don't even need to go into Iran because it's so well known. And yet these are the people that he is tweeting so effusively about. It's a huge problem.
It is, Howard. Look, I think from an optics point of view, it was quite bizarre because I would assume he's made several phone calls. I mean, I know, I think the week before he had a telephone call with the US President Donald Trump. Now, I mean, why pick these two countries? I mean, I've tried to follow the trend on Twitter and many people have said, what about African countries? You know, you're not phoning, let's say, Nigeria, you're not phoning Kenya, Zambia to see how they're doing. I mean, why these two countries and why he had to post? But when I looked at his thread, it wasn't just about COVID. It wasn't him saying, you know, the whole, you know, the world is battling under COVID-19. We need to stand together. I would understand, you know, reaching out purely on health grounds. But if you look at his posts, they go beyond that. He talks of, you know, the people in Venezuela being allowed to determine their own future. So it's gone politics. And if you look at the tweet on Iran, he talks about how sanctions have really crippled and how, you know, we stood together with the people of Iran. So these aren't just innocent tweets about a president talking about, COVID-19. It goes beyond that. He's really there expressing solidarity that we're there with them politically, which is troublesome. But in terms of, I think, broader and the policy and strategy, it's consistent. But it's just bizarre why he would pick those countries right now and almost hold them up as pillars of hope. I must say, Howard, as well, take, for instance, the issue of Cuban doctors. A lot of my friends have been asking themselves, you know, we've had these doctors come in to help. And again, you know, nobody can deny the role Cuba played during apartheid of sending actual troops to our neighboring countries to fight against apartheid. But the question people are asking is, do we not have enough doctors? Why are you getting Cuban doctors? And I saw somebody post a cost of their flights, their accommodation. It was astronomical. And people were saying, but they can't speak the indigenous languages. You're going to, you know, send these doctors out to the remote areas. And again, the issue becomes one of solidarity or saying, are we reaching out to Cuba because they have the best healthcare, the best doctors, the best knowledge? That's not the case. You know, there seems to be some underlying, you know, solidarity issue, some desire to prove some point politically. which is very expensive, and the optics of it don't look very good. So I'm quite shocked. I mean, whoever posted it or suggested that he posted could have done a better job. We didn't need post about Venezuela and Iran right now.
Yeah, it was almost like he was doing so well. You know, had he not posted it, he wouldn't have done worse. So it certainly wouldn't have created, you know, I can't imagine that anybody who wasn't supportive of him in the last, over the last month would read that and say, oh, yes, you know what, now I'm going to get behind the guy. But I can tell you that it definitely did him a lot of damage on the other side. It was self-destructive, I thought.
But here's my question, though, to you. Do you think he's active on the page post himself, or there's somebody in the office?
It's a good question. The answer has to be, of course, that he probably 90% chance he doesn't post it himself. Of course not. But I have to assume that whatever's posted on his Twitter account is representative of and accurate as far as his views are concerned. If we don't do that, if I can't make that assumption and hold him responsible, then I think we've got a bigger problem on hand. Howard, your thoughts on that? I think it's a good question.
I think at this point in time, probably actually no one cares who he spoke to. Call them his brothers. Well, we all know you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And we all have members of our family that maybe we're a little embarrassed about.
Yes, but we don't tweet about them. You know, we keep them. So, Nati, what do you think? You've been too quiet.
So I think it goes back to what we discussed earlier about how we're kind of slowly moving away from COVID-19, slowly but surely kind of going back to normal.
Yeah,
at least in some areas. So I feel like that's why he's now kind of like sneaking in politics, you know, because I mean, he shouldn't really be tweeting about anything except for COVID-19 right now. But the fact that, you know, he's going back to politics and showing solidarity with these countries kind of goes back to that thing that we still know what, you know, the bigger picture is, even though we are dealing with COVID-19 right now.
Yeah, interesting. Marion says that Cuban doctors have no experience with HIV and AIDS or even TB. I think that is a, that is, look, and I think it's very nice that they came to help. I mean, obviously, they are being paid for it quite generously, but you know, I don't think we can hold these doctors responsible.
They're getting paid, but I mean, reports that I've seen is that I think Cuba takes something like 50% of the salary they get.
Yes, I think
so. They get a small portion, and the argument has been that these are not necessarily just doctors, but you know, people more in terms of virology and so forth. But I think for me, the issue becomes if you're going to deploy somebody in the rural Eastern Cape, which is where I'm told they're being sent, you need to be able to speak the language. People aren't going to speak Xhosa. You need to speak, I mean, as English. It's going to be Zulu, Xhosa, and other languages, and you have to be able to converse with a patient very clearly. Without having to go through an interpreter and perhaps lose some of what the person is telling you. I mean, there have been questions asked about understanding family history in the regions and tracing. That's going to be problematic. But to come back to the visuals, you know, for me, Monday was a public holiday, right? It was Human Rights Day. And I think for me, there lies the problem, is if you just said, for instance, we're celebrating our democracy and you wanted to play on the angle that maybe some of these countries have stood in solidarity, that would be one issue. But so close to Human Rights Day and you're picking two countries that don't even know how to spell human rights, that for me, I think is a serious contradiction. I think in just picking those two countries, you could have just left them. Or just extended a hand and said to them, look, we're all struggling with COVID-19 and left it there. But I do want to encourage you, go and read the thread and then you will see that it's not just COVID-19. And there for me is the real worry, is that we seem to turn a blind eye to the behavior of certain countries because we're in solidarity with them. And that's the problem. Always said solidarity is almost blind. You are Howard, are my friend, therefore you can do no wrong. I will stand by you no matter what. And that's the problem with solidarity.
Very, very interesting.